Welcome to Recover Strong, a show that will transform your recovery from an eating disorder by helping you go from theory to practice to mastery. I'm Jessica Flint, founder of Recovery Warriors, and you are listening to our podcast channel created specifically for you in all the stages and phases of recovery. I want to celebrate you for carving out this special time to learn new skills, tools, and get the inspiration you need to recover strong. Let's get started.
I'm your host, Andrea Wells. And just like you, I understand what it's like to live with an eating disorder and be held back by body image struggles. The recovery journey is ongoing, and we're all in it together as we learn to embrace new behaviors and new thoughts day by day. Join me as I connect with eating disorder experts and thought leaders to give you the tools, resources, and strategies you need to recover strong. I am joined by Courage Club alumni, social worker, and fellow recovery warrior, Julie Wickham. She has had such a transformative journey in finding recovery in midlife through Recovery Warriors programs, and she's here today to share her body image healing story. Now, these questions that you hear today may sound familiar. That's because this past January and February, we aired a mini series called Beyond Body, featuring this series of questions. And we had such a great response to the format that we are bringing it in as an addition to Recover Strong's expert interviews. And we know how important it is to both universalize and individualize food and body image struggles. And the Recovery Warrior Shows is proud to be a platform for many diverse voices to shine light on one journey to recovery. So down the road, we hope to turn this format into a standalone show exclusive to sharing body image healing stories. But in the meantime, it is living here on Recover Strong, and I am excited to debut it with a longtime listener of the Recovery Warrior Shows, Julie. Thank you, Julie, for coming on to Recover Strong to share your recovery wisdom and insights with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Andrea. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Of course. And you have been on the podcast before with Jessica. You were interviewed by her. That's a great episode. I'll put a link to that in the episode notes. And now I get a turn with you as we explore your body image story. And Jessica and I always talk about how, like for me, I've had a full circle experience going from a dedicated podcast listener to now being on the show. And I feel like that's the same for you too, because I know you listened to the podcast channel a lot around 2018, which is the same time I discovered it and I was really listening to it as well. So what's it been like for you with your journey of going from Recovery Warriors podcast listener to Courage Club member to now Courage Club alumni? Can you take us through like each of those phases?
Oh gosh. Yeah, sure. I think when I first started listening to the podcast, I didn't even know what a podcast was. It was pretty much my very first podcast of ever, right? And I listened to it every day. I mean, even sometimes several times a day. And it really led me on a path to, oh, I can actually be recovered someday. And that was not an easy journey, but really gave me a great ideas and a lot of hope. And it just evolved. It ended up from, I went from just the podcast to actually creating my own team of people where I got mentors and coaches and did everything that, you know, basically the Jessica and people on the show would say. I'm like, I'm all in. And I ended up with a fantastic therapist and a great coach. And from there, just kind of grew and my love for Recovery Warriors just was never ending. I mean, I really feel like Recovery Warriors did save my life helped save my life. Because most of it was me, right? I had to experience the journey and do it all. But then, you know, from then, I just had this passion that it's important to not only recover your own self, but help other people recover. That's what a warrior does. A warrior, you know, fights battles. And it's not a battle that you should fight alone ever, because it's just so hard. So, today, you know, I became a ANID mentor. So I am now have a mentee, and I'm really excited about that. And It's the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Other Associated Disorders. And that was a really hard training that I had to go through. I mean, it was 12 modules, 70 lessons, intensive interviews, role plays, all of that. And it took me a while. And so, yeah, in March, I got my first mentee, and so far I love it. And then, of course, being trained along with you in the Women's Body Initiative is pretty cool, too. So,
yeah. That was awesome. Look, total full circle moment.
Yes.
Okay. So let's get into your body image story. We'll start off with, at what age did you first become aware that your body was something to manage and keep small? What was going on in your life at that time?
Well, I would say it happened around seventh grade, probably sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that middle school time. You know, the thought of restricting food and calorie counting and exercising entered my mind because other people were doing it as well. It wasn't like massive for me, but I entertained the thought and did this off and on for several reasons. One, my mom just didn't care for fat at all. She was briefly an emergency room nurse and said it took longer to save someone's life because they had to cut through all the fat. And I didn't want to be the fat person who didn't survive or had complications if I ever needed surgery, right? So that's one thing. She also always had my dad on a diet and was always counting his calories. I have no idea why to this day. Maybe it was for health reasons. I don't know. But she used to talk about when she was younger as well that she was kind of chubby, but then she got some sort of sickness, and I don't know if it was pneumonia. And anyway, she lost a lot of weight and ever since then remained really thin. And, you know, it was just the way, you know, she's like, this was good for her, she thought. But it really wasn't just my mom who focused on thinness for health reasons. My family culture was also about being proper, smart, respectable, you know, thin as well. I had this certain image that I always felt internally I needed to have, like be the right size, wear the right clothes, have the best manners, be respectful, get the best grades, all the things, right? But I'm not blaming my mom. My mom grew up in diet culture as I, you know, and as you did. And it was her way of trying to help me. Also, I think I just wanted, at the time, a boyfriend, right? And in order to get one, I thought you needed to be skinny because I didn't know or see any fat girls with a boyfriend. So most fat people I knew weren't treated well. They were picked on, disrespected, made fun of. I think all of this taught me the importance of being thin and in a smaller body. And I wanted to make my family proud, really in all areas, physically, intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, everything. I was a definite people pleaser. Wasn't skinny, but I wasn't fat either. I remember shopping and sometimes I had to go to the chubby section for pants and it totally embarrassed me. I think this is where my love for shopping took a massive nosedive and created lots of anxiety. And in my head, sizes mattered, numbers mattered, my worth really depended on it. Later on, shopping with my mom, of course, got way better. She wasn't so picky, and we had great times hanging out together and all the things. But literally today, shopping for clothes even now can be really triggering. And I have to be in a good solid mindset of my pants are actually supposed to fit me, not the other way around.
Yeah. I cannot count how many times and at so many ages that I have just cried in a dressing room. It can be such a triggering time. And women's clothing sizes are like another mind twist because they're so damn inconsistent. So thinking back to that time around grade 6, 7, 8, middle school, what was your biggest body insecurity back then and how has it evolved now?
Back then, you know, I developed early. And so, you know, my period showed up, I grew boobs, all the things were starting to change. And one of the things that I grew up loving was actually playing football with the neighborhood boys because there was one other girl in the neighborhood. She always had to hang out inside and help her mom. And we had the biggest yard, so we always played football. Well, it seemed like one day I'm able to play football and then with the guys. And then the next day, you know, I looked different apparently. I don't know. I didn't think I did, but my body starts changing and my parents say, no more playing football unless you're the quarterback. And not only that, we went from tackle football to two-hand touch football. And so it was really irritated me and it embarrassed me. I literally hated my boobs at that point. I feel like they made me different. I wanted to fit in. And now everybody knew why, you know, this was happening. And it was just terrible. It was terrible. You know, that was one thing that I can think of. You know, and as I even got a little older, it was just hard to go shopping. It was hard to swim, you know, the swimsuit buying. Other people were in bikinis and I had a one piece. And, you know, I'm just like, I cannot be the person in the bikini because that's, you know, I'm embarrassed by my body, really. Even going to like certain events, like they're dressing up and all of that. And I really just wanted to cover up and, yeah, it was pretty horrible because then I ended up comparing myself to others and all the things happened like that.
So how has it evolved now? Where are you now with your body insecurities?
I still have them a little. I mean, I live in diet culture just as everyone else. But, you know, I'm married. My husband, he's awesome. He's like, I feel really secure and loved by him no matter what size my body is. The same with my girls. They don't really care. My closest friends don't care. I think they all see me more than my body anyways. I know I do a lot. I mean, since I recovered for sure, you know, I love my body but I also live in diet culture. So I have harder days. Sometimes, you know, some days are easier.
What are the hard days like and what are the easier days like?
The easier days, they just feel so much better and they take less time because I can just put my clothes on and I'm good to go out the door. A hard day might be where, you know, sometimes it takes me longer to get dressed because I have this on and that on and then, no, this makes me feel this way. And usually now if that happens, I know that there's something going on in my head, that something is bothering me. It's just like a little alarm system if that happens when I'm having a hard body image day, that I need to address something probably.
Yeah, there's something deeper. It's interesting how like trying on clothes and stuff is such a common theme, because I really relate to that. It's amazing the power that clothes can have on our body image, both in like hurting it and helping it. So how did you find how did food and exercise tie into the way that you tried to fit a body ideal, and how do you see it differently today?
Well, when I was around 16 years old, I felt like my life was going pretty well, I guess, in most areas of my life, except for, you know, I was really focused on getting a boyfriend at that time. Maybe no one else knew, but that was always for me, you know, really wanted one. I never felt skinny or pretty enough for boys, which made the eating disorder thoughts probably worse and grow, you know, at that time. I was really terrified of growing old with no man to love me. And, you know, because it just seemed expected and I wanted that. And I wanted to feel that love. And, yeah, it would be my fault if I didn't get one, due probably to being fat is what my head was saying, which I never really was, but that's what it felt like. And I was terrified of fatness. So my real adventure to become skinny and gain a boyfriend was born, right? And I tried restriction, but it was really hard. So I heard how this one pretty girl, she was a cheerleader, she had a boyfriend, and she stayed thin by throwing up. And I decided to try it, and it was so much easier and made sense to me. So my journey into the eating disorder world really took off. I did that off and on until I was about 26 years old. I went to a halfway house for eating disorder treatment that basically told me to give up flour and sugar and get my body into a ketosis state. And it was horrible and it helped me stop bulimic behaviors, but it never made the eating disorder go away. So fast forward to really when I was about 50 years old, in 2017, I think, my gynecologist told me that due to migraines, I was at risk for a stroke and to stop birth control. And he said I would be in menopause soon and I should read up on it. And I did. And when I looked at all the symptoms, I focused on one specific symptom, which was weight gain. So I decided to prevent that and become really healthy. So I followed a diet app and exercised daily, mainly walking. And I was very successful with lots of people commenting. So it continued until it was never enough and I couldn't stop. And you wouldn't think walking would, you know, be that bad. But for me, it was walking for hours. And that's all I could think about, really. The goal to be healthy took a turn toward being small and smaller and smaller and smaller, right? Being recovered from an eating disorder now absolutely makes me feel sad about that time that I was in that. You know, my body knows what to do. I freaked out over basically nothing. My anxiety at the time of being off birth control and heading into menopause just drove me to uncertainty, and I panicked and I felt out of control. And food and exercise was absolutely something I could control, until the eating disorder showed up, and then I couldn't. And so that's how the food and exercise, because usually when I was younger, it kind of entered it a little bit, you know, when I was about 16, 17, 18 in my 20s, but it really didn't show up until later when it was all about the exercise and food. Because I'm like, as long as I'm not bulimic, I'm healthy.
Yeah, I think it's not uncommon at all that your eating disorder symptoms and behaviors and the way it presents may shift. And that's like, it may look different. Okay, I'm not purging anymore, but it shifted into something different. How do you see food and exercise differently today?
I think food is supposed to nourish our bodies. I think it's about trusting our bodies, knowing, you know, we know whether we need vegetables or whether we need, I don't know, a hamburger, really. Where we need something sweet or we need something salty. Like, I really believe that. I really think that is true. When I had to start eating, you know, differently out of my eating disorder and, you know, my fear, of course, back then before my body image started to be on the healing side, you know, it was still a little terrified of being fat still. But at the same time, it's like, just eat and see what your body does. Be curious about that. And I am just who I am now. Like, it's the size I am is good for me. And exercise for me doesn't have to be something that is, you know, counting calories and counting the hours and the minutes. I don't have to post anything about that. Like, exercise to me is really just movement, showing my body, like, just have fun in life, experience life, move. Like, and I do that through bike riding and kayaking and hiking, and I also believe in rest days, right? Taking a rest. If I don't feel like moving my body's not going to be moving.
Perfectly said. Amen to that. Has there been anyone along the way in your journey that has made a body image healing harder for you?
You know, I was thinking about that, and not really. Other than just diet culture gets on my nerves in general, and people when they compare themselves and they, you know, they get enmeshed in that diet culture, that makes it a little hard. I think I make it harder on myself by internalizing that sometimes, but no one specifically.
Yeah, just kind of more the cultural dialogue at large.
Yeah.
What has struggling with body image cost you?
A lot of time. All the time I spent counting calories and looking in the mirror and walking and thinking constantly about food and exercise and burning all the calories. I mean, that took my energy. It took my brain power. It took away from my family and my friends. it caused me physical issues in my knees. It caused me to have chondromalacia patella, which is basically destroyed. I destroyed the cartilage behind my, you know, underneath the patella. And, you know, now I have constant knee pain. So I have to do certain exercises to build muscles around that. And in your 50s, you know, that takes a while. I'm not like 20 anymore. So that was really that, you know, physically it was tough as well. It cost me myself, me. Like, people weren't getting the real me. They were getting me with an eating disorder. They were getting me with my focus on changing my body. And, you know, I was in a relationship with the eating disorder that demanded every bit of me, physically, intellectually, socially, spiritually. I mean, it was about to cost me my job until my friends intervened, and it would have probably taken my life had I not have gotten help.
How did it almost cost you your job?
Well, I couldn't think. I couldn't. I mean, I was thinking, believe me, but it was all about the calories. It was all about what I'm going to eat next. Should I not eat? It was about how much did I walk today? How much further could I go faster? It was all consuming in every way. So when I'm at work and I work in a school system, you know, I'm trying to make really good choices, and I made the best choices that I could in helping kids, but I was finding it harder and harder and harder to concentrate. I did groups, I did presentations, I saw kids individually, and the school was an interruption to what the eating disorder wanted me to be at. Like, my eating disorder wanted me just to not even show up. My eating disorder wanted me to stay home and walk. And yeah, the people in my job, my boss and my friends are like, hey, you need some help. And that was really hard, because there really isn't a whole lot of help where I live. So thank goodness I got the podcast that my boss said, you should listen to a podcast, right? I'm like, okay.
Well, it really sounds like you took recovery into your own hands. Like, you've been very resourceful in finding help and resources. And that's amazing that your friends and your boss were there for you to show support and try and get you help.
Yeah.
What steps have you taken to repair your body image?
Oh, boy. Lots. Lots of steps. The basic ones, opposite action, practicing that.
Oh, can you explain a bit what opposite action is?
Yeah. So opposite action, if other people are having salads because they want to fix their body image, but you're in the mood for a burger, then I'm going to have the burger. Like, that would be something opposite. Or opposite action also would mean I don't want to wear a sleeveless shirt, you know, like a tank top, but then I wear that. Because it's the opposite, making sure, like, hey, this is my body, and it's my body, really. I can do whatever I like. So it is the opposite of what, like, an eating disorder voice or the culture voice would have you do. You just do the opposite of that. And the more you do it, then it becomes easier. And then you're just like, oh. And honestly, nobody really cares. I mean, some people might, but in general, nobody cares if I wear short sleeves or long sleeves or.
Yeah. Usually the person who cares most is yourself.
Exactly. So that really helped, not engaging when people were talking about how many calories they burned and this and that and all that diet culture talk. I try to stop comparing myself to other people, especially if I go to an event, anything like that. I don't always believe in, how do I say this? Like, the health information, like, you know, when you go to the doctor's office and they're like, oh, you need to go on the scale. Like, I totally don't get on the scale. Like, no, I don't need to do that. And since I've spoke up and said, no, I don't need to go on the scale. I tend to go to the doctors, like, for my health more, because before I'm like, I would neglect going to the doctors just because I knew they were going to weigh. And I didn't know you had that option, but I learned that, that you do. And mainly I learned a lot through many books that my, coach Corinne Raba had me read that had to do with fat phobia. My favorite is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. But I also read, and this is one of my favorites too, You Have the Right to Remain Fat by Virgie Tovar. Oh my gosh, I love that one. Appetites by Carolyn Knapp, and My Body is Not an Apology by Sonia Renee Taylor. And of course, The 8 Keys to Recover from an Eating Disorder by Carolyn Costin. I mean, those books, woo.
There's a lot of books out there for recovery. You've just listed like the cream of the crop. Those are some really good ones.
Yeah, they're amazing. Amazing.
So what has come into your life more now that you are not so focused on judging and changing your body?
Well, I have more time to spend with people that I love. I get to do more things that I love too, like kayaking. I like to go bike riding. I have an e-bike. So bike riding and
oh my God, I want one so bad.
Oh, they're so fun. They're so fun.
Is it a pedal assist or like a full e-motor?
Yeah, it's a pedal assist. Because of my knee damage, I have a hard time going up hills. And so, you know, you just pedal along like you're riding a bike, but if you need to go up a hill, you just give it a little, I don't know, turn the thing and then it'll go for you. So
it helps, yeah.
You know?
I love those. I ride a lot of bikes around the city. I rent them. And when there's a pedal assist one, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going on the big hills today. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely. They're so fun. You know, so I like doing that. I like biking, kayaking. I like, I can think better. I don't know what else. Other than like, I'm an Anad mentor and trained in Women's Body Initiative, and I want to do something with that soon. And basically I want to help people in the Ohio Valley area that where I live, and just people in the world recover. I think it's worth it. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot's come into your life through healing, and it sounds very full. And now you are in a place to not only live your best life, but give back and help other people too.
Yeah.
What would you say has been your biggest body image healing milestone?
Well, I don't know if this is an actual milestone or not, but I like buying dresses. And I think dresses showed my curves in the past that like I just felt I wasn't good enough to wear a dress. And now I go out and I have a couple dresses, and when I wear them, like I feel like I look good in this dress, you know, and I feel pretty good about that. And that's really all that matters. You know, like when I wear a dress, you know that I'm actually in radical self-love right there, because I'm like embracing everything, you know?
Oh, that's beautiful. And that's a way, like, clothes were part of the struggle for you. Now it's part of the healing, is like, I'm going to wear a dress and this is a good day. And
yeah,
hell yeah, I can wear a dress. I'm going to reveal something to you that I've never shared on the podcast before. I only wear dresses. My whole wardrobe is, I think I have like two skirts that I'll wear occasionally, but I don't wear pants. I only wear dresses. So I feel that I'm like, they're so comfortable. I don't know how anyone wears pants. They're like a prison, but that's a conversation for another day. But I'm supportive of your dress wearing. It sounds really fun and like it's been healing. And I love a dress. I'm wearing one right now. I'm always wearing one. That's no so one funny. Probably knows that. Well, what do you appreciate most about your body now?
Gosh, I could go on for days about this. Probably everything that it does for me. Everything, every single day that it does for me, all the senses, the searing, the seeing, the hearing, the touching, the just everything. I love holding coffee. I love kayaking and hugging people and biking and laughing and thinking. Like, my body does so incredibly so much, you know. And, you know, one of the things that really helps me appreciate my body mostly, I learned, I think it was the Courage Club. We did a body scan, and it was my first time I have ever done anything like that. And I really, really loved it. And probably once or twice a week, I do a meditation where it's a 5-minute body scan. And that really, really helped me appreciate body scan. It'll, at least for me, like you sit down and I have somebody in like a guided meditation sort of thing. And they start and they talk about, you know, from your toes on up, like you appreciate your toes, you appreciate your feet, the tops of them, the bottoms of them. And you just kind of work your way up all the way to the top, to your beautiful brain. And, yeah.
It's a meditation thing usually, right?
Yeah, usually. And that's been a game changer for sure.
I can just sense that you are like overflowing with body gratitude. You're like, I could go on for days about this.
Yeah.
So what is something that you know now that you wish younger you would have heard when developing beliefs about her body?
That healthy doesn't necessarily mean skinny. I remember I was having a conversation with somebody and they were talking about somebody being in a larger body. And they're like, that person is so fat, they're going to die of a heart attack. And I just thought, you know, there are people who are really, really skinny who die of heart attacks. Like, that's crazy. Diabetes runs in my family, and my family is on this thin side, right? And thin bodies versus larger bodies. And yeah, we're like, there's diabetes everywhere in my family. It's not just in larger bodies. So it's almost like somebody made this up and spread it, marketed it so well that everybody believes this nonsense. You know, health and well-being for me are three things. It's thriving in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. It's not just about the body. And if you're body focused, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time, energy, all the things. And balance within those three are so important. Your body is amazing. I think that we need to listen to our bodies. It means connection. And body image, eating disorders, disconnect. They disconnect who we are with everything. They disconnect our mind and our body. They also disconnect us with nature, with other people. So having those three things, body, mind, and spirit, I think that defines health, not being skinny.
Yeah, it's really not that black and white. Thank you for highlighting that. What would you say to someone who is struggling to believe that they can be happy and healthy in their body, no matter what size they are or what they look like?
Well, if somebody is struggling to believe that, I would say that's your ego, diet culture, and fat phobia talking. That is you trusting someone else more than yourself, like your true soul self. It is, you're not trusting that. It's not easy to go against culture for sure, but many people are starting to, and you can too. And the only thing really stopping you is you. That's what I say to that.
Yeah, finding that power within. And there is a movement. Like, I know it can feel so disheartening sometimes, and it is hard to challenge that culture, like you said, because the bigger narrative definitely is different from what we're learning in recovery. And at the same time, like, we're a growing group. Like, there's a wave catching on here. So there's definitely some hope in that, I think, as well. Well, thank you so much for sharing your body image story. So inspiring. You've come such a long way. Before we go, where can all the warriors stay in touch with you?
Well, they can look me up on Facebook. It's under Julie Klug Wickham. And Instagram, I have an Instagram. It's julie.k.wickham. And my email, which is klugwickham@yahoo.com. The email is klugwickham@yahoo.com. And so that's how you spell my name.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And I will put links in the episode notes as well. Well, thank you so much, Julie. It's been so great to talk to you a bit more and hear more of your story. And thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's always great to see you and chat. It was great to meet you on the Women's Body Initiative. You know, recovery warriors never give up, and recovered warriors go back and they help other people in the struggle. And I hope I did that today. So thank you very much.
Well, my warrior friend, thank you for having the discipline to listen in. If you found this episode helpful and know somebody in recovery who could benefit from its inspiring message, please share this show with them. It would mean the world to us at Recovery Warriors if we can get our cause out to more people struggling with an eating disorder. So if what you heard today was helpful, share the show with another warrior or anyone on your treatment team. You can do this directly from your podcast player or send them over to recoverywarriors.com. We have a goldmine of free resources there for all stages of recovery. And until the next episode, may compassion light the path you are on and courage keep you on it. You totally got this, warrior.